Blog Talk Radio.
What's going on, everyone? Happy Tuesday to one, to all. Welcome to the Cave Show. This is PLR. Like I said, it is Tuesday, and we have some good stuff to get into today. We're going to definitely talk NBA playoffs. Boston is winning now with smoke and mirrors. D-backs, incredibly impressive last night. AJ Pollock is player of the month. Not going to get me off of that one. Brady said he's decided to play next year. Arizona's going to hit 100 in August. None of that stuff should surprise you. Bronk said he's going to play next year. He's going to hit 100 in July in Arizona. Another thing that shouldn't surprise you. Captain Obvious. Like I said, welcome into the Cave Show. This is PLR. We are brought to you, as usual, by the one, the only Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located on Alma School in Chandler Heights in Chandler, Arizona. Get in there, let them know that PLR sent you. They will take 10% off of any cigar purchase that you have. Again, that's Alma School in Chandler Heights, 4991 to be exact, is the address, exact address out to Alma School. Coming in May, this month, a little bit later this month, they will be serving beer and wine, so you're definitely gonna have to get down there. You know, I'm sure they'll have a big announcement, big to do. I'll get it to you as well, so you can get down there, get your steak, get a nice glass or a nice bottle. Also, become a club member. You can get a locker that backs directly up to a humidor, so you never have to worry about your sticks going bad. That's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located at 4991. South Alma School, that's Alma School in Chandler Heights and Chandler, Arizona. And I don't know why I can't speak today. Call the number is always 917-889-7828. If you'd like to give us a call, please do. Always welcome outside opinions. The topics again today, AJ Pollock is a National League Player of the Month, in my opinion. That's what I think anyway. Brady's coming back. Gronk is coming back. Yawn, yawn, yawn. And we have NBA playoffs. Do have a caller online. Thanks for calling in. All calls are made on the Kerry Lackey Law Line. Welcome to the Cave Show. This is PLR. Who do I have the pleasure of speaking to?
Afternoon, Paul. This is Lou once again.
Lou, my friend. How are you, buddy?
Yeah. All right. And, of course, I'm not surprised either that those two are coming back. Of course, Brady says he thinks he's going to play up until he's about like 45, 46 years old. I don't see it happening until that long, but I'm not surprised he's coming back this year.
Well, I think Warren Moon was 44 when he finally stopped, was he not? I think if he was
something
not there,
like
he was
yes.
Real close to it. Yeah. So I think it's possible. Here's what I think, though, Lou. I think it's hard for me to believe that Tom Brady is going to be Tom Brady for that long. You know what I mean? I don't think we're going to keep seeing the 33, 34-year-old Tom Brady. Inevitably, as Charles Barkley says, Father Time inevitably catches up with all of us. And
that's
his play
true.
Is going to have to start declining pretty soon.
You would think so. Well, Brady's, you know, 40 is now, what, 41?
40, 41. Yep.
Yeah, I would say like about another 2 or 3 years, I think he'll put it to rest.
You're being
and, of
quite...
course, maybe you thought, you know, after losing the Super Bowl, which they thought they would have won, that might have triggered, some speculation. But I think for the most part, we kind of knew he was going to come back. And Gronkowski, too.
See, and here's the difference with Gronk. I think Gronk can still do it. I just think Gronk's body can't do it, if that makes any sense the way I'm saying it. His mind is, You know, his body is letting him down. And with me, it's not a matter of just saying, will Gronk keep coming back? It's how much longer do they want Gronk to come back? Because he's at the point now every season, you don't know how many games you're going to get out of him, because it's not if he gets hurt. It's more or less, when will he get hurt?
Yeah, because eventually he is going to get hurt.
Inevitably. I mean, it's shown. So I think that's what it is. But Brady's been making guys great on the field his whole life. And I don't necessarily mean Hall of Fame great, but he's made a lot of guys look a lot better than a lot of other quarterbacks would. I mean, Hogan, Amendola, and Amendola was a guy that was hurt a lot. But he always have guys that work their way back in, and he finds ways to make them look better than what they are. And that's where I think we will start to see the decline in Tom Brady. Not that necessarily he's not making all the throws, but he's not making all the throws consistently. Or the guys that I just named, like the Hogan-type guys, that they're not doing things that they usually do, and they look more pedestrian.
Yeah. Well, one could have hoped that he wasn't going to come back, but I think we knew.
Yeah, oh, he was definitely coming back. That, like I said, him and Gronk coming back were as secret as, like I said, it's going to be 100 degrees in July and August in Arizona. It was just going to happen.
That's a secret?
Exactly.
I see 100 degrees
exactly.
In May over there. Ah.
And sometimes it is. We are going through a cold spell.
I know, I went there when it was like that.
We are going through a cold spell right now. It's only 77 today.
Oh, just
that's
about
our cold spell.
Here, too. At least we warmed up.
You know?
Now,
you
I
know
you don't follow hockey that much, except for maybe the Coyotes, but Carolina Hurricanes dumped their president, Robert Francis.
You know, I saw that. I saw that. Now, like you said, I'm not in hockey like you are. But what
right.
does that do for the team? Is that a good thing? Is that a bad thing?
Well, you know, they haven't made the playoffs in 8 years, and you know, I think they had to make a move. Something. He was even let go of his general manager position, and now this. I think that means we can say overhaul.
So is that a good direction for the team, or
it should be
a case of them being a little impatient?
Worse.
Yeah.
Yeah, something now, has to be done. So, yeah.
They're the old Hartford team, right?
Yes, they are.
Okay.
They're better as Hartford.
Yep, the old Hartford Whalers. And if I'm not mistaken, they used to play with. Now, did they used to play in a mall?
The Hartford Civic Center, yes.
Yep.
Good mall.
Yeah, that. I know the Connecticut, I believe they're called the Connecticut Sun when they were around, and they may still be around in WNBA. They used to play there as well.
Yes.
So, yeah, so they used to play in the mall. Something just seems cool about, hey, what do you want to do? You want to go to food court? Let's go to a game.
Yeah. I find it rather strange to play in the mall, though, if you ask me.
Yeah, like I said, that would be kind of cool. Hey, what time is it? It's like 6. What do you want to do? Right, want to go to a game? I don't feel like driving. You don't have to.
We can go to the game.
Yeah. Where'd you park? I parked on the other side. Well, let's move the car and go to this game.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, that seems kind of cool.
Yeah. Too bad they don't do it here in in my area. Like, you know, we have a mall not far from me. It's Livingstone. I can think of the Devils to play there. Nah, I don't think so.
No, you know what? We have a couple huge malls here, and one's in Scottsdale, one's in Chandler, and I would love it if one of the teams played down here in Chandler, although the Cardinals training facility is down here in Chandler. Now, that would have been cool to have a training facility and maybe get a couple restaurants that can overlook it at certain points, but you know how the NFL is. They want everything quiet and meek.
Right.
And they don't want you to know what's going on because everything is so super secret because we haven't seen those plays ever. No one's ever seen a skinny post before.
No. And I was reading something last night about Pat Riley said that, Miami Heat president Pat Riley said that Hassan Whiteside was saying that he wasn't really prepared for the playoffs. You see, he looked old, lethargic, didn't really take care of himself. And he thinks maybe if he would have done that, they would have won.
Well, actually, I was able to hear the entire interview on that one. And, you know, Pat Riley didn't get to where Pat Riley is by pulling a bunch of punches. And the one thing that he said, and I liked a lot, was he said, I'm not making excuses for him. But, you know, he did miss the games at the start of the season. Then he missed another nine. And then he said, but there are other guys like, you know, Steven Adams and Drummond and DeAndre Jordan and all these other guys. And you know, it plays similar to the way Hassan Whiteside plays. And the league is changing. So you have to basically find ways to keep playing. And he said it, and he just didn't do it. He didn't. He said his first year was great. His second year was good. He goes, but this year he just wasn't ready to play basketball. And I love the fact that he was just honest. And Hassan Whiteside wasn't ready to play basketball this year. And his mind wasn't there. And we've seen that before when he was first drafted by Sacramento and his mind wasn't right. And he ended up, you know, getting cut and playing overseas and then, you know, coming back on a make good contract and made good. Yeah. And now expectations change. You have expectations. And he can, as Pat Riley said, he can still defend and block shots and do those things. So Hassan Whiteside strikes me as one of those guys. His defense is better when you make sure he's playing offense. And by that I mean there are guys where if you get them shots, then they want to play defense. But if you're not getting them shots, then they don't want anything to do with the game. And he strikes me as that guy. But you're dead on. Pat Riley was actually a really good interview. And Pat Riley, like I said, didn't hold back. He said exactly how he thought.
He never does.
No, that's Pat Riley. That's what he does. And Miami was not going to beat Philadelphia anyway. Let's be honest.
No.
Hassan Whiteside, to use a hockey goalie term, he would have had to stand on his head for them to have really beat Philly. The problem with Miami is they don't have a superstar. And in the NBA, more so than any other sport, to go far, you've really got to have someone on your team that's a superstar. But what I think more than anything with Pat Riley is you have to play for him and his organization. You have to compete. And Hassan Whiteside just didn't compete at all.
Now, what did the Knicks do about head coach? They finally finished up interviews yesterday. So where do you think who's going to win the job?
I think it's going to end up going to – I've kept leaning towards Mark Jackson.
Good choice.
And now I don't – and even though I think he should get the job – somewhere I think the Knicks are going to be the Knicks, and they're going to come out of the hat with someone we weren't expecting. But, I mean, they hired some good – they interviewed Budenholzer down in Atlanta, Fizdale, Jackson, Kenny Smith. I can't think of my man, Jerry Stackhouse. So they interviewed some really good candidates. Lou, I'm going to be honest with you. I think it's a terrible job.
Yeah,
I mean, out of all the NBA jobs, I just think that's a bad job. You have your best player may not even play next year. Your number one draft pick from last year is a real average player. Your best player may end up being Hardaway, who is good, but you're not going to win if that's your best player. I think it's a bad job. Now, because it's such a bad job, I think maybe that's why if he's crazy enough to take it, Mark Jackson might be the man for the job because as a New Yorker, the New Yorkers want him. Maybe they'll give him a little bit more time than they would someone that they don't want because it's New York. If they love you, they're going to give you a little bit more than if they didn't want you to begin with. So I think maybe that's what.
If they love you in New York, they'll praise you. If you do horrible, they're going to run you out of town.
Yeah. So maybe they'll give Mark Jackson a little bit more time. But this is a real, like, this is a tough situation because they're just not a good team. I mean, it's not like You know what I mean, Lou? It's not like, well, they're a player away. Yeah. They're like players away.
At least three.
From, yeah, because like I said, their best player, who's not even an elite player, I know how a lot of people feel about Porzingis, but he's not an elite. He's not an elite player, but he's out.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at
February.
Yeah, which means that they should just rest him the whole year. I'm gonna go through this. I'm just for the people listening. You have Joakim Noah on your roster, making $17 million. You got Tim Hardaway Jr. on your roster, making $16 million. But then those are names people may know. But you have Ron Baker, Michael Beasley, Trey Burke, Damian Dotson, Isaiah Hicks, Jarrett Jack, Enes Kanter making $17 million, Luke Kornet, Courtney Lee, Emmanuel Mudiay, Frank Ntilikina, I always mess up his name, Kyle O'Quinn, Lance Thomas, and Troy Williams. What about that roster says to a coach, this is the job I want? They're not a coach away. They're not a player away. They're a few steps away. So and then when I'm looking at, you know, looking at the thing here, they don't even have a pick.
No.
So you have that roster, and you don't even have a lottery team. Without a lottery pick, or I take that back, you're picking number nine. You're picking number nine before the balls come out. You know, if things stay the way they look, you'd be drafting number nine. And yeah, this is a good draft, but it's tough sledding.
Yeah. All right.
So
on that note, I must be going. The dinner bell just went off.
You're like, with that bad news about my Knicks, I'm going to let you go.
All right, Paul. Same time tomorrow.
All right, buddy. Same time tomorrow. Talk to you, my friend.
Thanks.
Good friends of the program, Lou. Always love hearing from him. We're brought to you by He Caught It on the Carry Like He Law Line. We're brought to you by Madrillo's Fine Cigar and Tobacco. That's tough, folks. If you're a New York Knicks fan, that's tough. I honestly believe that is the worst job in the NBA. I really do. Let me give you that roster one more time. Ron Baker, Mike Beasley, Trey Burke, Damian Dotson, Tim Hardaway Jr., Isaiah Hicks, Jared Jackson, Enes Kanter, Luke Kornet, Courtney Lee, Emmanuel Mudiay, Joakim Noah, Frank Ntilikina, Kyle O'Quinn, Porzingis, Lance Thomas, and Troy Williams. That's the roster you want to go in the battle with? You want to go fighting with that roster? I don't want to fight with that roster. I wouldn't pick that team to play on NBA 2K. Gameplay comes back tomorrow on the Sportscape Networks. Tomorrow night, make sure you tune in to check out Mia Chambers talking about football, only the way football should be talked about. So tonight we have some good playoff games. Cleveland gets going against Toronto. Steph is back. New Orleans and Golden State. We'll start with that game. We'll break that down real quick right now. Golden State is going to beat New Orleans. New Orleans is going to get one or two games. Maybe two. One for sure. Should Golden State have held Steph out one more game, brought him back in New Orleans? I don't know. I mean, after a while, your superstar wants to come back. He's ready to come back. You got to let him come back. And there comes a point where he's ready. So bring him back. tonight I just want an entertaining game more than anything. I just don't want to see what we saw the other night when he just ran them out the gym. Cleveland versus Toronto, there's my preview. Golden State's going to win the title, you guys. I keep trying to find ways to make this interesting and talk about it in a way that is interesting to make it seem like something interesting is going to happen. But I just don't believe that's the case. Toronto, Cleveland. Okay. Call number, by the way, is 917-889-7828. I don't believe that Cleveland's good enough to beat Toronto. And I know Toronto has Cleveland on the brain. And I know more specifically they have LeBron on the brain. But I just don't think Cleveland has enough talent. I think they have the best player. But I'm actually believing in Kyle Lowry this playoffs. And I'm betting on him to actually come through. And I'm betting on him for being the best player on the floor in this series for Toronto, because I just don't see anyone on Cleveland that can actually guard him, or anyone that's on Cleveland that will actually make him work defensively. For the last couple of years, it was always Kyrie Irving, and just flat out honest, Kyrie Irving is better. I don't see anyone on Cleveland that's going to really mess with his game. So maybe it's just me, but I think Kyle Lowry gets off in this series. Now, I'm not saying that he necessarily will get off game one or it'll be game two, but I think consistently throughout, he is going to be the person that's going to give Cleveland absolute fits, because there is no Kyrie Irving for him to worry about. For the first time in 2-3 years playing Cleveland in the playoffs, Lowry doesn't have to worry about. I don't think he worries about George Hill guarding him. Kyrie Irving is an all-star. That's Kyrie Irving. I almost said Nick Lowry watching Bad Boys the other day. Kyle Lowry doesn't have anything to worry about in terms of playing someone of the caliber of a Kyrie Irving. So I'm taking Toronto in six. To me, it's not even close. Yeah, I said I'm going against doing the thing you never do, and that's go against LeBron. Well, hell, I just went against LeBron. Game last night, Boston, Philly. Philly just wasn't ready for that last night. Boston was still in rhythm. They have one of the top five coaches in the NBA. He can plug and play with just about anybody. I think I said the other day when, late last week when Stephen Hunter was on the show, you could take Brad Stevens, let him coach your team, and he'll beat you with your guys. So I firmly believe that. I love how today everyone is talking, oh, the pressure, who's the pressure on, who's the pressure on? Pressure's on the Sixers, pressure's on the Celtics, pressure's on, pressure, this, the pressure. Shut the hell up. The first two games, the pressure is always on the home team because you got to defend home court. Everyone knows the series doesn't start until the road team loses the game. So Philly comes back, and Thursday when they play again. If they win Thursday, they've done their job. They win the Boston, they got one. And everyone, oh, they're Philadelphia, they look terrible. They look anemic. Oh, they look bad. They weren't ready. They look bad. Pressure's on them now. I can't believe this is a team. All those people with the sky falling down, relax, shut up. And I'm sure Brett Brown is telling his team, don't listen to all that noise, because that's all it is. Your job is to come in there and get one game, game one or game two. It doesn't matter. Yes, Boston did well. Yes, Boston took away their three-point ability. Yes, Ben Simmons has to shoot the ball, and Boston is going to make him either shoot the ball or he's going to have another seven turnover game. So hit or miss, he's got to take the shots. Hit or miss. But Philly's going to play better. Ilyasova is going to hit shots. Covington is going to hit shots. Fanelli is going to hit shots. They're not going to just miss all their shots. So relax, everyone. Chill out. All the people and, you know, I'm hearing the quote-unquote experts freaking out after the game. There's nothing to freak out about. Game one. Even if Philly loses game two, you don't panic, because if they go back to Philly and win two games, what do we say? Oh, Philly gained the momentum back when they won. Just relax. The pressure is always on the home team to protect home court the first two games, because then the pressure swings to you. Because if the home team, and that's why they set it up 2-2-1-1-1, because if the home team wins both games, now Philadelphia feels pressure, because they then cannot lose at home. Because then they go back to Boston down 3-1. If they don't win in Boston, they don't protect home court. Then you worry. And the same goes then for Boston and any team playing on the road. If you lose game one or two at home, then the pressure's on you, because then you have to get on the road and you have to steal a game back. Otherwise, you're 3-1. It's crazy. I love when people panic. Terry Rozier walked in the game for Boston wearing a Drew Bledsoe jersey. Tell you, I love basketball. Basketball players are the most petty people on earth. I think it's great. I think it's absolutely great. Petty is a beautiful thing. Tomorrow on the show, we have the one and only Gerald Bergay is going to join us. He's going to talk basketball with us. We get into these playoffs. We're talking just a little bit about the Suns. All that is tomorrow. He'll be calling in on the Carrie Lackey Law Line. All calls are made on the Carrie Lackey Law Line. Make sure you follow us on social media, Instagram, Facebook fan page, and Twitter at The Sports Cave. Cave is always with the K. Make sure you catch us on our website, sportscave.com. Again, Cave is always with the K. You get me directly at PLR on Sports. And that's on Twitter. Until tomorrow, everyone have a great Tuesday. Watch those games tonight. They're going to be good. Game one, I've got Toronto and Philly. This has been The Cave Show. This is PLR. Everyone have a great Tuesday. Take care.